जय ओम नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की जय। श्रील गौर किशोर दास बाबा जी महाराज की जय। ओम अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान श्रील सच्चिदानंद भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर की जय। जय ओम अष्टोत्तर शत वैष्णव सार्वभौम श्रील जगन्नाथ दास बाबा जी महाराज अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपगोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथ श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। यमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ऑल ग्लोरीज नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भक्तवे श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्ताप सुखाकारिणे नमस्ते। श्रील गौर किशोर दास बाबा जी महाराज की जय। श्रील गौर किशोर दास बाबा जी महाराज के तिरुभाव नमो गौर किशोराय साक्षाद वैराग्य मूर्तये विप्रलम्भ रसाम्बुधे पादाम्बुजाय के श्रील गौर किशोर दास बाबाजी महाराज is our Param Gurudev. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's spiritual master is Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj has been described in his Pranam Mantra as the Shakshad Vairagya Murtai. He is the personification of renunciation, detachment. His renunciation was beyond anyone's imagination. He did not have any, not only that he didn't have any place to stay, but he didn't have any possession whatsoever. So the Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to live in Navadvip. Prior to that he was in Vrindavan. And then he came to Navadvip to live there near Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And he used to spend his time on the bank of the Ganges. Nothing to live on. He used to roam around like a madman. And he would, usually he would just lie down on the bank of the Ganges to take rest at night. Only when it used to rain, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj just used to go under upturned boats on the bank of the Ganges. During the monsoon time, when it rains, the boats are turned upside down. They're tilted upside down so that the rainwater doesn't accumulate on the boat. So Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj just used to go under the boat and used to protect himself from rains. And as I was saying, he didn't have any possession. He didn't even have a japa mala to chant. He used to take some piece of cloth and he would make knots in them. And that's how he used to count. That was his japa mala. And for cloth also, what he used to wear, on the bank of the Ganges, people used to bring dead bodies to cremate, to burn. And generally, before they cremate the body, they bathe the body in the Ganges and with the water of Ganges, and then they throw away the old cloth and they put on a new cloth, and then they put him in the funeral pyre. So that discarded cloth from the dead body, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, whenever he needed some cloth, he used to pick it up and he used to get it. He never used to cook himself. Whatever he got, he used to just eat. And so indeed he was a person, he was the personification, the embodiment of renunciation. Completely renounced. In his earlier life, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was born in East Bengal, which is now Bangladesh, and in a district of Borishal. And he was a grain merchant. In his household life, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was a grain merchant. He was not very educated. Apparently, he was not educated. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Shri Shri Gaur. He was, apparently he was actually an illiterate person. But it is quite a noticeable thing that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was the greatest scholar of his time, took initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was apparently illiterate. And you will come to that afterwards, how Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj refused to give initiation. He did not take any, he didn't give initiation to anyone. The only disciple he had was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was in his household life, in his early days, he was a grain merchant. And he used to, and he was married. But when his wife left her body, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj left home. He considered that Krishna very mercifully has taken away his attachment. When his wife died, he left home and traveled to Vrindavan. And he used to live in Vrindavan. But then, becoming attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, Vrindavan those days were actually filled with Mahaprabhu's followers, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. Most of them were actually, most of the residents of Vrindavan were from Gaur Mandala Bhumi, from Bengal. Because Mahaprabhu's followers became very attracted to Vrindavan, especially when the Goswamis of Vrindavan, the first ones to go there were Lokanand Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami. They actually went to Vrindavan even before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. That must have been about 7-8 years before Mahaprabhu left. I mean, Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh, went to East Bengal, and there he met Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami. Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami inquired from him, what is the ultimate goal of life? When they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they inquired from him, what's the ultimate goal of life? What's the human life is, what's the human life meant for? What is the purpose of human life? Obviously, not just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Human life must have a high cause. So what is that goal? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him about Krishna consciousness. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you go to Vrindavan. And I'll join you. So we can see Mahaprabhu had his plan long before. He was first married to Lakshmi Priya Devi. After marrying Lakshmi Priya Devi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh. But during Mahaprabhu's separation, Lakshmi Priya Devi left her body. And then Mahaprabhu was married to Sri Vishnu Priya Devi. And then Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to perform his father's Shraddha ceremony. And there he met Ishwar Puri. Met him for the second time. He already met Ishwar Puri in Mayapur when Ishwar Puri was traveling. Sachimata treated him as a guest at that time. And Ishwar Puri then was staying, when Mahaprabhu was in Gaya, then Ishwar Puri, he met Ishwar Puri and Ishwar Puri gave him initiation. And since then, Mahaprabhu actually started to display his attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and attachment to the Holy Name. Prior to that, Mahaprabhu didn't display his spiritual inclination as such, or especially devotional inclination. Now obviously he was a Brahmin. He appeared in a Brahmin family, so spiritual inclination was there. But Mahaprabhu prior to his initiation was mostly displaying his scholarly activities. He was a great scholar. He was a great logician. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a great logician and he used to debate and defeat everybody. He, when he was only about 14 years old, he defeated Keshav Kashmiri, the greatest scholar of India at that time. He defeated all the scholars throughout India. He started from Kashmir. He was a Kashmiri. He went, he traveled to North India, East India, Western part of India, South India, and then finally he came to Bengal. And the only place that was left to be defeated was Navadvip. And when people heard, when the scholars of Navadvip heard that Keshav Kashmiri is coming, they ran away out of the fear of being defeated by him. They thought that instead of being embarrassed by being defeated by him, better to run away. So under various pretexts, they all ran away. The only person that was left at the time was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was only about 14, 15 years old. And Keshav Kashmiri, when he heard that, just a 14-year-old boy, he didn't want to have any kind of debate with him. So he rather decided to wait for the scholars to come back. And at that time, Navadvip was in a very, very well-known place of scholarship and learning. So Keshav Kashmiri was waiting, and Keshav Kashmiri one day met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the bank of the Ganges. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching some students. He was teaching grammar, the very basics of Sanskrit, or very basics of a language. But in that encounter with Keshav Kashmiri actually challenged him. He said, okay, let's see, you are a Pandit, you're known as Nimai Pandit, let's see what the extent of your scholarship. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, who am I? Just a little boy in front of you. So instead of getting into a debate, an argument with you, let me rather try to take advantage of your presence here. And so Keshav Kashmir asked, so what do you want to, how do you want to take advantage? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now this river Ganges that is flowing, please recite the glory. Let me hear some glory of the Ganges from your lotus lips. So Keshav Kashmir then immediately started to compose one after another. Right there, he composed 100 verses in glorification of Ganges. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Keshav Kashmiri asked him how he liked it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply was, quite good, quite nice, excepting a few mistakes here and there. Keshav Kashmir became furious, said that in my composition there is no mistake. Nobody has ever been point out any mistake in my composition. So he became furious and he started to blast Nimai Pandit. And then he told him, anyway, what was the mistake? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took one verse and pointed out 8 mistakes in one verse. So that is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Keshav Kashmiri. So at the age of 14, Mahaprabhu became actually the greatest scholar of India by defeating the greatest scholar of India of that time. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this way, became well known as the greatest scholar. And he, as I was saying, he was not actually displaying his devotional inclination. Devotion to Krishna was started to be displayed only after Mahaprabhu's initiation. And since then, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely absorbed in Krishna prema. He started to behave like a madman. Many people actually thought, most of the people of Navadvip at that time thought that he has become mad. What do you think of a person when he just cries and laughs, totally unconcerned about his surroundings, rolls in the ground? Like, his behavior was like a complete madman. But actually, this was Premon Bhavana. So anyway, the point that I was trying to make is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even before he took sannyas, he sent Lokanath, he told Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami to go to Vrindavan. So they were the first ones to go to Vrindavan. Then, many other devotees started to go. And eventually, Vrindavan, which was actually a forest, became the place of pilgrimage, naturally. and many people started to go there. Vrindavan those days, of course, was not like the way it appears to be today. It's quite a big town at least, if it's not a city. It's quite a fairly big town with a lot of trading going on, mainly because of ISKCON. People come from all over the world, and Vrindavan has become a big marketplace. But those days, Vrindavan was just a forest. And those who became attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they used to go to Vrindavan and spend time. So Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj at that time went to Vrindavan. But after some time, after I don't know how many years, it seems that he stayed in Vrindavan for quite some time. After staying in Vrindavan for quite some time, he came to Navadvip to live there. And at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also in Navadvip. He used to live in Navadvip. And Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj became very close to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now these are also two very different personalities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a big government officer, a deputy magistrate in the British government, very learned, very scholarly, very powerful and influential personality. And Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was just a simple devotee, Babaji, in renounced order. But they became friends. They became very close friends. And that basis of their friendship actually was Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recognized Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj as a great devotee. And Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj also recognized Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a great devotee. So they naturally became attracted to each other. And another personality who also became very attracted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the time, Vashila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, another Babaji, another renunciate, who also lived in Vrindavan for many, many years. And he was quite old, and then he came to Navadvip to be near the places of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur became very attached to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and he received lots of instructions from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Therefore, we consider that Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is a spiritual master of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't take initiation from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Shiksha Guru. And Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj took Shiksha from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Therefore, our line is that Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj came after, or rather in the disciplic succession, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj's spiritual master. But this link was not through initiation. This was Shiksha link. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to take initiation, Bhaktivinoda Thakur advised him to take initiation from Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was like a avadhut, was just didn't have any external consciousness. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached him for initiation, He laughed. He said, giving initiation to you, me? Like you are the greatest scholar and I'm just an illiterate fool. How can I give you initiation? You must be joking. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur insisted, no, you have to give me initiation. I'm surrendering myself to you, please deliver me. So Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj, being insisted upon, he finally said, okay, give me some time. I'll ask Krishna. Let's see what he says. So after a few days, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to him and asked him about initiation. Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj replied, oh, I forgot. Forgot to ask Krishna. And in this way, he kept on procrastinating. So finally, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that, please, don't deceive me. He actually told him that you are the follower of the biggest deceiver, Krishna. So, please, do not deceive me. Please, bless me with Krishna, give by offering me Krishna consciousness. But still, when Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj refused to give initiation, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually decided to give up his body. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaurita. He told him that he would give up his body. What's the use of living if you cannot get Krishna consciousness? So finally Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj gave him initiation. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the only disciple of Golkishudas Babaji. There was another very exalted Vaishnava at that time, contemporary of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His name was Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji. Some people say that Gaurakishudar, he was initiated also by Gaurakishudar Babaji. But there is no evidence of that actually. Probably he came close to Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj, but he was not his initiated disciple. Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj didn't want to give initiation to anyone. Only person who forced him to give initiation was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj was very straightforward. Like once a big king came, his name is Manindra Chandra Nandi. He was a king from Bengal and he invited Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj to come to his house, to be his guest, to come to his palace. Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj told him, look, we have a nice relationship, so why should you spoil that relationship? Because if I go to your house, then seeing your opulence, I'll become envious. And I'll also want to have an opulence like you. And our relationship will be ruined. So, in this way, still Manindra Chandra Nandi was insisting that how much he wanted to take. How much he wanted his mercy. So, Golkishudas Babaji Maharaj told him, oh, if you want my mercy, then I will say, you come and stay here. And both of us will stay together, chant the holy name, render service. And the king could not accept that offer. He left. Gaurakishwardas Babaji Maharaj. Sometimes when he became old, some people actually forced him to stay in a dharamshala because he was quite old and he couldn't see. He became blind. So his pastimes, when he was performing the pastimes of becoming blind. And but still some well-wishers insisted that he would stay in a dharamshala. But when he was staying in the dharamshala, many people started to come to take his, to receive his mercy, to take association. So finally Gaurakishwardas Babaji Maharaj decided to move into the toilet so that people wouldn't come and disturb him. And the toilets those days were not like the toilets today. They were just some makeshift structure. There was no sanitation. And he was just staying there. Srila Gaurakishwardas Babaji Maharaj used to visit Bhaktivinoda Thakur quite often, and then later on he was staying near Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, next to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or rather in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. In one corner he used to have a small little hutment, and he used to stay there just to be near Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That place is still there, Shanandushukhada Kunja, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. Now there's a temple has been built there. Let me see. It has been described that his Purva, his name, his previous ashram was Bamshidas. He was a grain merchant. And he left home after his wife died and went to Vrindavan. And he took his Vesh, that is, you can say, he accepted renounced order from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's disciple, Bhagavat Das Babaji Maharaj. He used to spend his time by begging, by Madhukari, and he used to sleep under trees. He lived in Vrindavan for 30 years. And by here it says that being instructed by Radha Krishna, he came to Navadvip. And he started to live in Navadvip, considering that Navadvip Dham is not different from Vrindavan. He used to spend his time on the bank of the Ganges, most of his time just chanting and dancing like a madman, and sometimes he used to just faint in ecstasy. It says that sometimes he used to wear a kopin, and sometimes he didn't wear anything. He didn't have any concern. For the external world. Sometimes he used to go to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house in Godrum, Shananda Sukhada Kunja, and stay there and listen to श्रीमद् भागवतम फ्रॉम भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर। Here she describes that when Manindra Chandranandi, the king, invited him to come to his palace, Gaurakishor Das Babaji Maharaj's reply was, if I go to the palace of the king, then I may become greedy for money. And then we may develop some conflict between the king and me. There is a very nice anecdote. Once Babaji Maharaj decided to celebrate Sanatan Goswami's disappearance day. So some people came and asked him, so if we want to celebrate, then we have to collect, we have to get ingredients for the feast and other articles. So Gaurakishor Babaji Maharaj said, no. The way for beggars like us to celebrate is just fast and chant the holy name. That is our way of celebrating. This is a very wonderful instruction. Once a gentleman, must have been quite a well-known person, Narendra Kumar Sen, came to Babaji Maharaj and asked him about the Siddha Pranali. Siddha Pranali is the way to achieve perfection in Krishna consciousness. Now, some people think that there is some Siddha Pranali, that one must receive the Siddha Pranali from the Guru of one's spiritual identity and relationship with Krishna and so forth. It goes on. In Vrindavan it is quite prevalent. Like the Guru says that you are such and such Manjari, you are such and such associate of Radharani and Krishna. Your age is, you are 14 years old. The color of your sari is purple. And this is your seva. This is a kind of a sahajiya thing goes on. And it's quite prevalent actually in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was very, very critical about that. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to Vrindavan to smash these so-called Babajis who practiced this sort of Siddha Pranali. Bhakti Siddhanta, actually this is a Siddha Pranali, that the self-realized spiritual master can give reveal the spiritual identity of a disciple when he is considerably advanced, when he has become free from all material attachment. But not for neophytes. These pranalis, these processes are not for neophytes. And people couldn't even follow the four regulative principles. They smoke bidi, smoke ganja, and the Guru says, oh, your spiritual identity is such and such associate of Srimati Radha. It's all kinds of, it's all nonsense. So this person came to Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and asked him for Siddha Pranali. Then Babaji Maharaj told him that the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be perceived by imagination. You see what these Siddha Pranali, these people do, they imagine that I am such and such gopi, or I am such and such manjari. Sometimes it happened also with ISKCON devotees. Once, in Vrindavan, somebody found that someone is moving in a very strange way. He came to his room and he found his roommate is kind of moving in a very strange way. So he asked him, what happened to you? He said, both of them are Americans. So what happened to you? He said, I'm practicing. He said, you're practicing what? Peak of movement. Because some Babaji told him that his spiritual identity is he's a peacock. So this is what goes on in the name of this Siddha Pranali. They imagine that I am this, I am that. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj pointed out straight away that the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be perceived by imagination. But when, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, through the pure chanting of the holy name of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself will become manifest through the sound vibration. That is the real Siddha Pranali. And at that time, the devotee or the practitioner also recognizes his spiritual identity. When one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he can see his relationship or his spiritual identity. An example can be given in that respect. When the sun comes up, then with the light of the sun, we see ourselves and we see everybody. Similarly, when we develop our Krishna consciousness, then in the light of our Krishna consciousness, when we see Krishna, we see ourselves in our relationship with Krishna. That is the real Siddha. And in this respect, I just remember two other incidences. Srila Prabhupada had a god brother who was a Babaji. Srila Krishna's Babaji Maharaj. But he was a very exceptional personality, a great devotee. Prabhupada was very fond of him. Both of them were very close to each other, Prabhupada and Babaji Maharaj. And one day Babaji Maharaj was telling me, some people are asking him about Siddha Pranali. And he said, yes, our Siddha Pranali is Trinadopi Sumichena, Tarurupi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sada. That is the Siddha Pranali, the process of spiritual perfection. How to achieve spiritual perfection? Kirtaniya Sada. How to chant Kirtaniya Sada? How to chant the holy name all the time? Will be able to chant the holy name all the time only when we become more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, desiring no respect for ourselves, we may be prepared to offer all respects to others. And the other incidents that I remember is once one person came, he was actually Prabhupada's disciple. He is a Bengali gentleman. He came to Srila Prabhupada. At that time, I was attending Srila Prabhupada. I was just sitting there. He came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And at some point, he just asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what is my Siddha Swarupa? What is my spiritual identity? And Prabhupada became so furious. He He said, "You rascal, your spiritual identity." Prabhupada was so angry that for quite some time, Prabhupada just kept on saying, he couldn't say anything else. That "you rascal, your spiritual," he was saying it in Bengali. "You rascal, your spiritual identity. Your siddha soul." And then finally, Prabhupada, and that man was completely, he was so fat. Actually, when Prabhupada would chastise him, the whole room would start to shake, what to speak of. The person who is getting the blasting from Srila Prabhupada. And then finally Prabhupada told him, "Don't worry about your siddha soul. So when you become qualified, I will personally come and reveal your siddha soul. When you become qualified, I will personally come and reveal your spiritual identity. First you become qualified." So that is Srila Prabhupada's very, very clear instruction. Prabhupada, I noticed, he had such sensitivity whenever he one brought up, because it's actually a great danger. In Vrindavan, this Babaji, what they do, many devotees are actually simple-hearted people. And they come and tell that, well, what Prabhupada gave is not the real thing. Prabhupada gave you some initial, because you are not qualified, he gave you something, he brought you to the spiritual platform. But the real thing he didn't give you. And the real thing is what I'm going to give you. And people get misled by that. And they leave. It has happened. Still now it is happening. Many people leave ISKCON being misdirected by unscrupulous people. We have to recognize, we have to understand that Srila Prabhupada gave the perfect process for achieving our perfect spiritual perfection. And not only that Srila Prabhupada gave the perfect process, Srila Prabhupada created the perfect atmosphere to receive our spiritual goal, to reach our spiritual goal. There is no need to go out of ISKCON for anything. Everything can be achieved. And everything will be achieved in ISKCON. If one sincerely remains in ISKCON and practicing the process of Krishna consciousness according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Whereas when one leaves ISKCON, then what happens? Just ends up falling down. We have to understand, first we have to become qualified. And what is the qualification? The qualification is, the first consideration is follow the four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And for a sadhaka, for a practitioner, what is the most difficult one out of these four? To control sex desire is the most difficult one. To practice the process of illicit sex. And when one is on his own, then he is so vulnerable to fall down. But when one remains in the association of devotees, he is protected. Yes, in Krishna consciousness, there are four ashrams. In ISKCON, it is being practiced. Not that everybody will be a brahmachari. But actually, yes, again, Prabhupada said, in ISKCON, everyone is a brahmachari. Not only that, the brahmacharis are brahmacharis, vanaprasthas are brahmacharis, and sannyasis are brahmacharis. Even the householders are brahmacharis. Because the standard is only association, only for procreation. And that is the purpose of household life. Getting married only for the sake of procreation. Now, if you are not in the association of devotees, it becomes very, very difficult because the Kali Yuga atmosphere is so contaminating. So Prabhupada has given everything. Prabhupada has given the perfect situation. And if somebody thinks that in ISKCON he is not getting everything, he'll have to go somewhere else to get the high, something higher that Prabhupada didn't give, he is simply living in a fool's paradise. And eventually he's just going to lose his spiritual. We have seen that time and time and time again. And we can also recognize that Srila Prabhupada is, what Srila Prabhupada is actually a continuity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plan. Mahaprabhu has his plan. How to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. How to inundate the whole world with Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has his. And we can see, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, soon after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, his teachings got lost. And his holy dham got lost. But then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came. And he revived the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, in order to, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually the starting point of the revival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Now the question may arise, why Mahaprabhu's teachings got lost? Mahaprabhu allowed it to be like that. Like first it would, Mahaprabhu's teachings would disappear, and then from that field of Krishna, from that field, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will revive Krishna consciousness. From the field of, you can say, field of ignorance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and planted or revived the branch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And then came Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to further his mission. And in between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started this revival of Krishna consciousness, and he knew that in order to revive Krishna consciousness and make it spread all over the world, there is going to be the need for all kinds of involvements. Like Krishna consciousness is not going to spread just like that. If these acharyas sat under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Krishna consciousness movement would spread. Therefore, there is a need for a massive operation engaging everything. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's concept of Sankirtan was engaging everything in spreading Krishna consciousness. That is the meaning of Sankirtan. Sammak. Engage everything to spread Krishna consciousness. When something is engaged in service of Krishna, it is spiritualized. It's not material. During his time, he was doing that. Of course, the facilities those days were not as extensive as they are today. But still, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was doing that. He had the theistic exhibition. That fate, the first American theistic exhibition was actually started by, it was not the first American theistic exhibition. Our exhibition that was established in LA, Fate, by Prabhupada, was actually the continuation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's plan. He used to send his exhibits with the groups of devotees in a boat to different places, and they would set up big exhibitions. People would come and they would spread Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to Vrindavan. He, as a sannyasi, went to Vrindavan as early as in 1921-22. And how did he go there? He went there riding a car. Those days, in India, there were just a handful of cars. And he went there riding in a car. And the Babajis were shocked. Who is this sannyasi? First of all, they don't accept sannyasi in saffron. They don't accept that. That they think sannyasi is forbidden. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went there as a sannyasi. Now, who is this sannyasi wearing saffron? So arrogantly came to Vrindavan, riding on a car. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was told that how these people are talking about him, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's reply was, little do they know that I have come to smash them. I came here this way to smash them. And he did. His mission was Rupanuga Viruddha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Hari. His mission was that all that was going on in the name of Rupa Goswami, but actually they are Apasiddhantas, he came to smash that. But before embarking on that mission, he accepted Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj as a spiritual master. The personality, who is the embodiment of renunciation, holding his lotus feet on his head, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to establish this worldwide mission of propagating Krishna consciousness, which will be involving massive operations, involving millions and billions of dollars. Because otherwise, this movement cannot possibly spread all over the world. People will not accept this movement seriously, or this movement will not be spreading effectively unless proper arrangements are there. In this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established his Gauriya Math. But unfortunately, again I would say, as a result of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plan, Gauriya Math disintegrated. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission disintegrated. And then Srila Prabhupada came. And from the ruins of Gauriya Math, Srila Prabhupada revived the spirit of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the form of ISKCON. Actually, ISKCON is the real Gauriya Math of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So we can see it is a flow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement. ISKCON is the institution which is going to make it happen all over the world. And therefore, it's a simple consideration is that unless and until there is an institution, the systematic propagation of Krishna consciousness all over the world is not going to happen. Just some haphazard involvement and endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness is not going to achieve such massive achievements of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. We need an institution, we need an organization. And Srila Prabhupada gave that organization in the form of ISKCON. And it is going to happen through this institution. Therefore, those who are serious about spiritual life, those who are the real followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will remain in this movement, in Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, and help this movement to spread. And therefore, Prabhupada emphatically said, unity is the strength. Your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. There will be many, many centers all over the world. many, not only hundreds as we have now, there will be thousands of centers, thousands of temples all over the world, if not millions. But they all will be under one banner, under one united front of ISKCON. And what Srila Prabhupada gave is the perfect arrangement. And as I was mentioning the other day, what is the final proof of the genuineness of ISKCON? How do we recognize that ISKCON is the institution which is going to distribute Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy all over the world? What is the proof? The proof is, the best proof is how the devotees of ISKCON live their body. That is the proof. How one lives his body, that is the ultimate proof. And we are seeing time and time again, not only how big devotees live their bodies, even simple devotees, how they live in their bodies. Like often I remember Samasundari, just a 22-year-old girl, disciple of Raghunath Maharaj. She was from Pune. When she left her body, when she was about to leave her body, she was taken to the intensive care. She had oxygen and all kinds of needles, you know, stuck into her body. When she came, she came back to her senses and she told them, please take out this. Take the oxygen, take all this out. And says, chant her. Requested the devotees to chant Hare Krishna. And they started to chant. And she left her body. Now where did she go? When one leaves like her body like that, it's obvious where she went. There's so many such examples. Another example I often recall is one lady, one Indian lady, Gujarati lady, in London. She developed cancer. But although she developed cancer, she was totally unconcerned about it. She would go to the temple, render service. She even came to Mayapur, she stayed in Mayapur. She didn't want to leave Mayapur. She wanted to just stay in Mayapur. But she had to have some treatment in London. She had to go back to London for that because that treatment was not available in India, or at least not in Calcutta. But she refused to go back. So then finally they called me and requested me to convince, to tell her. Finally she agreed, she went back to London. And anyway, so when she left, she wanted to come back to Mayapur or Vrindavan. And again, a few days before she left her body, I went to London to see her. I was actually shooting in New Vrindavan. I got the news that the doctor said she has only about 7 days. So I used to speak to her from time to time on the phone. And one day I was speaking to her and she told me that she dreamt that I came to, she saw me in a dream that I came to see her. So when I heard that, I decided to go, at least fulfill her last desire. And I went to London. Yeah. Actually, when I went, I thought that she must be completely bedridden because she had only 7 days left. Within, doctor said, no, 7 days. But when I went there, she insisted on getting out of the bed to offer obeisance. And even I was trying to kind of prevent her from doing that, but she wouldn't listen. Offered obeisances. And the wonderful thing is that when she left her body, I was not there. Actually, the doctor said she had 7 days, but she stayed 3 more weeks longer. What, 24 more days, actually. 21st August, she left. I came to see her, went to see her on 27 July. When she left her body, not only she had the Japamala in her hand, and not only she was chanting, she was surrounded by devotees. She took the Japamala, placed it on her head, and she left her body. I mean, it's unusual. Like generally when one leaves the body, body remains straight. Her body was, she had lifted the Japamala, placed it on her head. The head was turned on the side. She left her body. Now, apparently, she's just a simple, not so educated, not so scholarly housewife. But how she left her body. And these are the proofs that what Srila Prabhupada gave is absolutely genuine. If one sincerely follows, he'll make it. Go back to Godhead. And when is the time that one goes to God, goes back to Godhead? At a time like that. And so many other devotees. One of our God sisters left her body not too long ago. So pure, so clean. I mean, just in pure consciousness, chanting the holy name, surrounded by devotees. She left. Another lady I know in South Africa, just before she was leaving, her husband was crying. And she told, please allow me to go. Don't pull me back. So this is how one develops one's spiritual affinity to go back to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's disappearance day celebration ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.